atmosphere as well as our fans.
All right, hour number two of Midday with Trey and BK means it's time for the Tom Herman press conference, and Coach Herman is up at the podium.
Unbelievable game day atmosphere as well as our fans. That was as, you know, raucous and loud, packed as, you know, guys like John Bianco that have been here forever can remember. And that was fun, and it had a direct impact on the game. It really did, and I think it energized our team tremendously. So, again, thank you to our fans and students for their support, and hopefully we'll have much of the same this week. Good win, as we talked about on Saturday after the game. Played really well in all three phases of the game, especially in the second half. And, you know, defense, after giving up two out of their first three drives, scoring touchdowns, and to shut them out the rest of the way was really big. And it was fun, especially the fourth down stop on fourth and one when we had an opportunity to take the penalty and make it third and six from the six, or make it fourth and one, knowing that they would go for it on fourth and one, and we chose to make it fourth and one, and our kids did not disappoint us. Our players did not disappoint us. So that being said, we moved on. That feels like ages ago, that game on Saturday. This is an extremely talented and good football team that's coming in here on Saturday. It's our conference opener. It's a team that, quite frankly, has had our program's number for the last few years. And, if we want to achieve the things that we want to achieve long term, you know, we've got to go 1-0 this week. And we've got to be able to put last week's game behind us, learn from the positives, learn from the mistakes, apply them, and then move on. And I feel like our guys, at least yesterday at practice, I mean, it was a late night, and then we were up at it again on Sunday, practice and meeting the whole nine, and our guys were dialed in and ready to move on. Injury updates, Brennan Eagles is probably doubtful right now with a hamstring issue. Keontae Ingram had a good day running straight ahead yesterday. He's, again, if we were in the NFL, probably questionable. We'll see. We'll know a lot more tomorrow when we practice. Zach Shackelford is probably doubtful, still having some pain, but I think he's going to try. What that means, I don't know yet, but he certainly, if we had to play today, could not play. And DeMarvion Overshawn is coming on, but is still probably a week or two away. And then the one that hurts is Malcolm Roach, fractured his foot, so he'll be out 6 to 8 weeks with surgery scheduled on Wednesday, so we'll have to plug in not only and make up for his production and play on the field, but his leadership as well. So, but that's what we train for. One of our pillars of our program is competitive focus, meaning when your number is called, that you're ready. And I'm sure that those guys that are behind him will be. Questions.
Tom, you walk off while TCU and Ohio State are walking out, and I know it's always on to the next one. When you see a TCU offense put up 500 yards on that defense, is it really easy to move on to the next one?
No, considering what I know about how talented and good Ohio State's defense is, too. So we've got our work cut out for us on both sides of the football. TCU has speed everywhere. I mean, their skill guys on offense are fast in terms of their wide receivers and running backs. You know, their running back was a 94-yard touchdown run or something like that against Ohio State, who has got a lot of speed on defense themselves. And then, obviously, on defense, even their front is fast and athletic. So, they played well. They came up a bit short, but this is as fast of a defense as I've seen in a long time.
Back middle, Steve. You talked a little bit about the goal line stand. We really thought that was a game-changing situation for you on Saturday night because it kept your momentum going. You talk about momentum being a fleeting thing, I know, but it did keep momentum going. And secondly, can you talk about Jeffrey McCullough's role now that Malcolm's going to be out, how important he's going to be for your team, and just how smart of a player McCullough is as a whole?
The first part of your question, yeah, that provided a ton of energy. I think it provided energy. It wasn't your normal fourth and one, right? I mean, we could have certainly backed them up to third and six, stopped them, and they jogged their field goal unit out and probably would have had 3 points. But we knew if we chose for it to be fourth and goal at the one, that there was a high likelihood that they would go for it at that point. And so I think there was a lot of trust from, placed by us into Coach Orlando and his staff, and then by Coach Orlando and his staff and his players to say, Coach, let me have a crack at this. Let us have a crack at this. And so we went with it, and it did provide us a tremendous amount of energy and for all intents and purposes kept points off the board. You know, not just 7 points, but in reality, had we decided something differently, probably would have been 3 points given the percentages. Jeff's as smart a guy as we got on the football team. I mean, really, really sharp guy that is coming into his own from a physical standpoint, is really embraced the physicality that's necessary at that position. But he's a guy that is going to be in the right place at the right time just because of how smart he is.
Yeah, Tom, how well do you know Gary Patterson? And as an offensive coach by trade, what challenges do his defenses present when you're game scheming?
I know him about as well as most of the head coaches in the Big 12, maybe a little bit more just because of, Craig Nivor used to coach for him, David Bailiff, who I worked for, used to coach for him. So there was always a bit of a connection there throughout the years. But his defenses do a really good job of mixing zone with man, mixing fronts, mixing blitzes in kind of at the right time. And he's going to scout you, till his eyeballs come out. I mean, he's going to know, when the back is 6 centimeters shaded to the left, that you're 92% likely to get this run or this pass or whatever it is. And so you've got to be cognizant of all of your tendencies. You can't overthink it either, because if you've got a tendency and that tendency is working, there's some merit to it as well. But tremendous defensive coach, tremendous head coach. I mean, the guy's won the Big 12. He's, won 4 straight against University of Texas. So I got a ton of respect for him.
Tom, this program the last 4 or 5 years has had a really hard time with the follow-through after a big win. 24-hour rule, I get it. But the reality is these guys are getting passed on the backs from family, friends, classmates. I mean, how do you realistically, here in the real world with Twitter, get them to truly forget it and move on?
That was we spent a 30-minute team meeting yesterday, and our coaches were also given kind of a curriculum, if you will, for their position meetings on a more unit-based level, was that the only people whose opinions should matter when it comes to the game of football are the people in that team meeting room, the players and the coaches, your teammates and your coaches, and basically pleading with the leaders to make sure that some of these guys, to school the young guys up that, and it was the same after we only beat Tulsa by 7 points. It was the same meeting. That in this family, you can be bombarded with outside messages that really have no impact on our preparation for TCU. So it was a big point of emphasis throughout the day yesterday, was making sure that the opinions of the people in that locker room and in those coaches' offices are the only ones that, that we worry about.
And then as a follow-up, I know the recruiting perception is that, you know, A&M's coming on strong and you got to worry about OU and all that. But TCU has long been known as a guy who, when he gives you a commitment, that's a big red flag that, hey, this kid's talented. Look at this kid. Is TCU a team that is really high on your list of, hey, you guys got to turn this tide for all the other reasons that are talked about with these other schools in, for you to get back going again?
Yeah, I mean, simply because they're an in-state school in our conference that we recruit against. So, yeah, there's a lot of added benefit to winning this football game. But, you know, the biggest one is that, you know, we get an opportunity to go 1-0 in the Big 12.
You know, you've talked about this before, but you guys haven't had a three-game win streak at this program since 2014, have an opportunity to tie that. I know you don't believe in momentum, but is there a tangible way to build off of the success that you guys had against USC and continue that going forward?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I just choose to use a different word. I mean, it's energy, it's lessons learned, it's validation. It's, you know, there's a lot of things that come from winning a game like that that are positive for your program and positive for the psychology of your players, because you know, in the last, I mean, you rattled off the statistic on Thursday, right? The average, you know, the losses since we've been here have been whatever, 6 points or 5 points or something like that, and so we've been so close for so long that to finally break through the close barrier and actually finish gives us energy and gives us some validation of the fact that the way that we do things will and can lead to success.
Tom, kind of piggybacking on the last two questions, but have you seen, how encouraged have you been by the response of this team since the Maryland game, the way they have come on in the last two games, and, you know, when obviously that was kind of another blow to them? And second of all, just a quick follow-up, do you at all even have to mention the last four games against TCU to these guys, or is that so ingrained that you think that that's almost a given?
Neither. I really think, you know, there is a, because of where we're at culturally and with the leadership on this team, that moving past the first game was actually not as difficult as probably many people think. It really wasn't. I think our guys were ready to learn and move on, just like we're ready to learn and move on from a win this week. And the motivation of the previous four, it's really, it's inconsequential. I don't think that there's a guy on this team that you know, they care about this year, and they care about this week, and they care about going 1-0 this week, and that's all the motivation they need, really.
Tom, I was curious what your thought process is on your two freshman quarterbacks now that non-conference is over and the redshirt rule, and do you kind of wish you'd gotten Shane in just to make sure he's not rusty if something happened to Sam?
No, Shane's he's awesome. That guy'll be ready. There's no doubt in my mind. He will not be rusty. You know, he's healthy. He's bouncing around, coaching the heck out of Sam on the sideline, talking to, Coach Beck and myself on the headset, even during series or right after series on what he saw. So he is fully engaged, and, you know, the opportunity to get him in with, you know, when you're running the clock out, I don't think that's, you know, you've spent 70 some odd snaps, you know, with one quarterback meshing with the same running back in the same center, so that probably wasn't the ideal time to do that. We only subbed a couple guys out just to save some legs on the wide receivers, and the best of my recollection, we had the entire starting offensive line in, and the starting or we put Reese Leto in, you know, for Andrew, but kept Cade in 12 personnel. So And then the freshman quarterbacks, I think, you know, they're going to be ready. They both travel with us. Right now Casey runs the scout team and Cameron's the third guy. There's no doubt in my mind that at some point, it's not. There would be no surprise by anybody that watches those guys go about their business day in and day out and sees how talented they are, that nobody would be surprised if those guys are the starting quarterback at Texas at some point. Now, you know, when that is, I don't know. But, they're both going to be ready. I don't think you're going to, you know, you got four games. So when you have a quality backup like Shane, you're not going to, you know, waste a game or two, on a guy. And it's not like we really had any mop-up duty, so to speak, the last couple weeks. So in a perfect world, you'd redshirt them both and still play them in four games if you have the opportunity. But, they have done nothing but be very, very they've been nothing but a pleasant experience to work with. It's really, really fun to see the future of that position in those two young guys.
Coach, you've talked about your team competing for Big 12 titles for a few times now. Why do you think your team can compete this year?
Well, I think our best is good enough to win. I think, but we got to play our best. There are teams out there. We're not there yet where they can play their C-plus game and still win versus a lot of opponents. We're not there. We need to play our best every week to win, especially now that we're starting conference. We're starting in a conference where we, play everybody. We're one of only, I think, two teams in the country to play back-to-back years, play 11 Power 5 opponents. So we know what our schedule's like. We know who we can be. That was certainly validated a little bit on Saturday night. But we've got to be that team each and every week, which is difficult. But we also know that it's possible now, too. And we feel like our best is good enough to compete with anybody.
How much does the completion percentage, Sam, I think it was 45%. How much does that matter versus all the plays he made?
Not in that game. We knew. We prepared our team from Tuesday's practice. We were not going to have a very high completion percentage because we knew we were going to keep throwing the ball down the field versus man-to-man coverage. And when we hit it, it was going to be big, and we knew we weren't going to hit them all. We didn't even bat an eye because that was exactly, it was almost to a T how we thought the game plan was going to play out. Fairly low completion percentage. He threw, I think, two touchdowns, ran for another one. We were going to need him in the run game because of the overloaded boxes that we were seeing. But we knew that taking shots down the field is not very high percentage, but when you do, they're big plays.
Tom, first, is there an update at all on John Burt?
John's going to practice, yeah. So I've got on my thing, participate in drills as tolerated. So we'll see how he feels tomorrow after going through drills.
Secondly, now that you and Todd have had a chance to review the film, was there anyone or anything that stood out to you about your guys' run defense in the USC game?
We got great play from our two inside linebackers. And usually when you're getting great play from those two guys, it means that the three guys in front of them are playing really well, too. So I think we did a good job of mixing the blitzes and stunts. And our players lit their hair on fire and just went and, created havoc, behind the line of scrimmage. And that's always a key component to slowing down run game.
Tom, from a recruiting standpoint, you've had some time now to digest what was a pretty big recruiting weekend. How do you think everybody in the organization handled it? And then also, how do you and your staff handle kind of the ebbs and flows of a recruiting cycle when, from the outside, the perception is that things are either really, really bad or they're going really, really well?
We don't worry about things going really, really bad or really, really well in September. We'll worry about it in December and in terms of the signing day. We're on track. We're on pace with a lot of guys that we feel like we need to be. And then I do have to, thank, Derek Chang and his staff. I mean, that is hard. When you have official visits, you had 40-some-odd guys offered or offerable type guys that were on here unofficially. And your coaches, aren't around very much. And, again, like I said, there's some really positive things to having official visits on a game day weekend. Our recruits got to see our atmosphere, which was unbelievable, got to see a win against a top 25 opponent, and got to experience Austin. Now, do we wish that we would have had some more quality personal time with them, whether it be at a dinner or lunch or whatever, certainly, but all the official visitors were at my house Sunday for breakfast and, had individual meetings with me. And so we felt like it went really well, but it would have been impossible without Derek Chang and his staff and what they were able to do in absence a lot of times of our coaches who were, busy trying to win a football game.
Hey, Coach, you've talked a lot about wanting a team that's mentally tough, right? And you guys fall behind 14-3. There's once, and then you guys come back. I think Brandon Jones gets beat, but then he makes a stop on fourth down that saves a touchdown. Can you just talk about that bounce back, what you're seeing on the sidelines, and if you're feeling like if things start going bad, this team is mentally strong enough to come back?
Much more than we ever have been. We're certainly not a finished product. We've got to continue to enhance that and improve it. But it's confidence, and it's not arrogance. It's not cockiness. It's confident that I trained so hard and am trained so well throughout the course of the week that when one bad thing or two bad things happens to me throughout the course of the game, that's okay. That's football. And, I have trained and my teammates have trained so hard that we'll be able to go 1-0 on the next play and the next one and the next one. And you stack up more 1-0s versus 0-1s, and you're going to come out on the good side of the ledger for the most part. And so I think we're in a lot better place with the confidence of our training individually, and then the confidence that each individual has in how his brother and his teammate has trained.
Tom, when you had time to digest Sam's numbers, the 45% completion rate, the 17 carries, were there some check downs in there that he could have taken that maybe he needs to take going forward? And how's Deli Adeoye progressing, and what jumps out about TCU on film?
Yes, there were some checkdowns and probably a couple misreads that, again, we went into the game, and because of the multiplicity of coverages that they had, it wasn't, hey, dissect every coverage and tell me exactly what it is. It was a lot more progression-based in terms of what we asked him to do, and I thought for the most part he did a great job. A couple of those scrambles probably could have been check downs, but he's pretty dang good with the ball in his hands. Deli's doing great. Is full speed in practice and should get a ton of reps on special teams again this week, and then be ready to go should we need him, as the backup inside linebacker right now. And TCU, the thing that stands out is just their speed, as we've talked about. They've got speed everywhere on all sides of the ball.
On Malcolm, how was he playing before this injury? How would you rate how he was doing?
Good. I mean, he's playing really good. One of our more productive players on defense.
And I wanted to piggyback on what Omar was asking. I've asked you a lot about winning and teaching these guys how to win. But it's the idea of them believing in themselves first. And the goal line stand seems like a huge pivotal moment because you did trust them to do their thing. You know, how do you quantify or measure that they get it? That, hey, this coaching staff does believe in us?
That's a great question. And we talked about it yesterday in the team meeting that, like, let's not let that sequence go by without analyzing that. That was a defensive coordinator whose job depends on, you know, my and other people's evaluation of him, walked up and said, "Coach, we got this. We got this. We'll stop them." And I made sure that our defense knew that's how that sequence went in that team meeting, that he looked me in the eye and said, "Put the ball in the one and let him go for it." And it was neat to kind of just see the looks in their eyes when, you know, they realized that this coaching staff and myself has a tremendous amount of belief in them. And the light bulb went off. Now, again, it's not to say that it's some great epiphany that's going to carry us into the wild blue yonder, but it was just another step in the build of our program in terms of, you know, proving again that we believe in them and that we trust them and they can trust us.
I saw you and Todd were together. It looked like no hesitation on their part. Was there any part of you that was like, no?
Nope.
Is it because of his belief? Because of the way he was, let's do
it. It was because my belief in him and his players and our defense.
You see this sprint on the side?
No. I don't know that I want to see him sprint down the sideline.
Back middle, Roger.
Tom, Gerard Hurts had an interesting career path. I mean, some epic games as quarterback, beats OU, featured pass catcher to a guy that still seems to have a great attitude. What do you guys see and get out of Gerard on a daily basis still?
Oh, everything he's got. He bleeds burnt orange and white. He loves this university. He loves this team. He loves his teammates. Loves his coaches. And he will do anything and everything as long as we win. That's all that matters to Gerard is his team winning. And I can't say enough about a guy and to have an attitude like that. You know, he's got talent, certainly. You know, he's in probably the deepest position meeting room on our team in terms of the quality of depth that we have there. But he has taken his role, whatever that role may be, each and every week, and he has taken it and ran with it, no pun intended, but, you know, he's happy to do whatever his team needs him to do to help win.
Tom, you know, you said last year during the signing day in December and then again in February, you feel like you and your staff recruited the right kind of guys, not just great players, but the right kind of guys. In terms of the intangibles and stuff like that, is that the kind of stuff that shows up? Because it looks like whether it's been Caden or BJ or Keontae, it doesn't look like those guys have flinched at all or been timid. They've been pretty much ready to go from the time they stepped on the field. Just your thoughts on how they've handled everything so far through three games?
Again, you know, I Rick Neuheisel says it on his show on Sirius or what is it, 84 or something like that. You know, that it's not the players that you don't get that get you beat. It's the ones that you do get that you've misevaluated or not what you thought they were. And so we spend an inordinate amount of time on the evaluation of the intangibles. You know, we want to know the character of the kid. We want to know his toughness, his work ethic, his selflessness. These guys have not disappointed. I mean, these guys they're all team players. They all, you know, which is hard. As highly regarded of recruits as some of these guys were, to come in and take, you know, backup roles, if you will, or kind of spot roles or special teams or whatever. They have all done it without blinking an eye, without complaint, and it's been really, really fun to see. And they're they're excited about 2019 class because they know that that class is going to be the one, you know, that kind of helps them when they're juniors and seniors, you know, get to where they need to be too. So tremendous amount of pride in that class. They've got a pride in winning. They've got a pride in the display of their talent, certainly, like you said, with the young ones that are playing. And yeah, they were those that are playing were certainly college ready and have not flinched.
Yeah, speaking of new eyes, of listening on 84 on the way down from Dallas, and he said he thought he saw a lot more athletes in the TCU Ohio State game than in Texas Southern Cal game. I was curious what you thought about that, and is the targeting calls, are they just going too far?
I don't know about more. I didn't quantify. There were some athletes, right? There were. Right, there were some athletes on both in both games, so I don't know that. Certainly, both those teams that played in Dallas have a lot of athletes, but I saw a bunch of really athletic dudes on both sides of the ball running around in this game too. So to quantify the whether more or less, I don't know. And targeting going too far, I don't know. I think. I've said ad nauseum, you know, there needs to be – we measure intent in a lot of fouls in a lot of different sports. And I think there has to be a way to measure intent of this. Do we want to keep our kids safe? Absolutely. And if a kid does make contact illegally with some part of, you know, above the shoulder area illegally, then that should be a foul. But to eject a kid that's – it's not trying to hurt anybody. That's in the split second decisions that are being made. I don't know that I agree with that, but I do know that anything and everything that we can do in the name of player safety and making this game safer, I am all for. But I do think there needs to be a way to measure intent on that, and as to whether we eject a young man or not.
Coach, you talked about TCU's speed and how fast they are everywhere. How do you beat a team like that, and do you like your chances going against a team like that?
I do, because I think we can run too. I think our defense, we've got a lot of speed on defense. I think offensively, you know, going side to side is probably not, you know, there's going to be times and places for it, but I think in the run game, you got to go vertically a little bit. You know, you got to try to push some of these athletes off the ball a little bit and find creases. And when they try to, you know, use their athleticism to avoid blocks, you've got to make sure that your running game is kind of in sync with that. And but I think those are the two things. I think we got to keep them in front of us on defense. We can't let them, you know, break free because it's going to be hard to chase them down. And then offensively, I think, you know, you got to stick with the vertical run game as much as you can. Thank you.
And there it is, the weekly news conference of Longhorns head coach Tom Herman. Certainly the most compelling part of it is the unfortunate news delivered that Malcolm Roach, the Longhorn senior boundary backer, is going to be out at least 6 to 8 weeks. He'll have surgery on Wednesday for a broken foot suffered in the win over USC on Saturday night. On the improving, on the mending side, Keontae Ingram with that bone bruise and that strain to the MCL on the mend, had some light running yesterday. They report him as being better off and listed as questionable for this week's contest. Zach Shackelford continues to mend, but listed as doubtful for the game. So, and the other news, in case you didn't hear about, a couple of other items. The game with Kansas State coming up a week from Saturday on the 29th in Manhattan. We'll have a 2:30 p.m. kickoff, And the Big 12 Conference did announce its Players of the Week today, and Longhorn senior linebacker Gary Johnson was named the Defensive Player of the Week, which goes along with what Coach Herman was saying in the news conference about how both inside linebackers played very, very well for Texas. So that wraps up the news conference, and Trey and BK, will send it back to you at the studio.
Thank you very much, Craig. BK, on the other side, I want to talk to you not only about what Tom Herman just had to say in terms of the injuries and some of the other things, but also the start time for that Kansas State game. I posit that 2:30 is the best possible start time for a game in Manhattan, and it just gave me that much more confidence that the Longhorns will actually be able to win one at Kansas State for the first time since 2002.
Forget the confidence. I'm just excited we don't have to wake up at 9 o'clock to get ready for a football game, right? So far since the Maryland game, we have had no other 11 a.m. kickoffs. Hopefully the Longhorns can keep winning. Maybe those games will get moved a little bit later in the day. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Trey and I will give our thoughts on what Coach Tom Herman had to say at his game week press conference, of course, recapping the 23-point victory over USC and starting to turn the page to this weekend's tilt against the TCU Horned Frogs. That's coming up, plus some other stories from around the world and shooting the bull. It's the Midday Show. Trey and BK on the Horn at 8.
BK, Tom Herman had a lot to say today. There was more of a positive tone on today's presser than there has been the first few Monday pressers once the season actually got going, and it's understandable, of course. It was a big win on Saturday. But it started out really with some unfortunate news, and that involved some injury updates. Looks like Malcolm Roach may miss the next 2 months, if not the rest of the season. I'm not going to be surprised if this turns into a season ender, considering what foot injuries tend to be, especially on bigger guys. Broke his foot early on in Saturday's game. He's going to be out at least 6 to 8 weeks after a surgery to repair that injury. Huge loss for a linebacking corps that is already depleted with injuries.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Malcolm Roach, one of the better players, one of the most experienced players on this Texas defense, and he will be missed. Tom Herman was asked about Jeffrey McCullough, the guy who might, or presumably, will step in for Malcolm Roach at that B-backer spot. Tom Herman praised him, said he's as smart of a guy as we have on this football team, and also added that McCullough really embraces the physicality that is necessary for the position. So you're right, Trey, a tough loss for Texas, of course, because of how good Roach is, but also because of how thin they are at linebacker. We'll see what Jeff McCullough has in store.
I've actually been impressed with McCullough so far this year. I thought he did a great job. He was pressed into action against Maryland, even though he was just coming off that pec injury. I thought he showed out well there, and I liked what he was doing in the ball game on Saturday, especially in the second half. Once he really got into the flow of things, he was forced into action maybe a little bit earlier than Orlando and the defensive coaches wanted to put him in, but he's made the most of that opportunity so far this year.
No doubt. A couple of other injury notes from guys who did not play this past Saturday against USC. Keontae Ingram, according to Tom Herman, is questionable for this weekend's game against TCU. Zach Shackelford, the starting center on this team, probably doubtful. Tom Herman added, if there were a game today, Shackelford would not play, so we'll wait and see how he progresses.
I would actually wonder, even if he was available, BK, what would happen on that offensive line? Because I got to tell you, pretty much every guy on that line had their issues at some point in Saturday night's game. Even Sam Cosmi, early in that ball game, he picked up a couple penalties. He missed one blocking assignment. If there was a rock-steady influence on that offensive line on Saturday, if it wasn't Calvin Anderson, it was probably Elijah Rodriguez. He is playing great at the center spot right now.
Yeah, the offensive line continues to play pretty well. And Herb Hand, man, we talked about it all offseason long, how big of an addition he was to this Texas coaching staff. So far, the offensive line has looked much improved from a year ago. Also, DeMarvion Overshown, the true freshman who we have not seen here in Austin, still probably a week or two away, according to Coach Herman Trey.
And because B.J. Foster is missing the first half of the TCU game this next week, when Texas is in that formation that requires the Joker type of player to be out there, expect to see more of Chris Brown. Of course, his first snap after B.J. Foster was kicked out of the game on Saturday, came up with a sack. That was a nice introduction to the Longhorn faithful. So expect more of Chris Brown, although what I'm reading so far, it looks like Orlando is planning on playing more base nickel than he is that the cheetah formation that gets the Joker out there on the field.
TCU's offense is a tough one. That'll be a test. I love what Tom Herman preached, though, Trey. One final thought just about moving on. Moving on. Same thing we did after Maryland. Same thing we did after Tulsa. Just because it's a big win over a ranked team, we got to put this one behind us because this TCU team coming into Austin is damn good. I know beating USC was nice and the crowd was crazy, but I love that Coach Herman preached. He said, look, we talked about it yesterday, 30-minute meeting, just about don't worry about people patting you on the back. Don't listen to that. Just listen to the players and the coaches here in this locker room. Let's get ready for Saturday.
And he was very upfront about what TCU does really well, especially on the defensive side of the ball. He talked about the fact that they mix their zone and man and fronts and blitzes. They do that all really well. And that Gary Patterson, what were the words that Tom Herman used? He will scout you until his eyeballs are coming out.
Yes.
There is no question about that, especially when it pertains to Texas. He looks for every little weakness. And I guarantee you this much, BK, just from watching the game from a Texas perspective over the first 3 weeks of the season, they are going to try to exploit the nickel matchup. Whether it's PJ Locke or Josh Thompson out there, when they see one of those two guys, they're going to be going at either of those two dudes. Both guys have made plays at times this year. Both have also really blown coverages, really on pretty much an every game basis at times.
Yeah, this is supposed to be a victory Monday, but it's hard not to start thinking about the conference opener against TCU. Number one, because it's a huge game. And number two, because of what TCU has done to Texas the last 4 years.
That, and also, how about the fact that Texas overcooks itself after a game like this far too often over the last 7 to 8 years now. So while the win itself feels good, you got to have a short memory with wins and losses, but especially a win this week because the competition really stiffens up here in 6 days.
Oh, TCU, Gary Patterson and company should be a fun, fun contest. A couple other things. I thought it was interesting. Trey, Tom Herman was asked about Sam Ehlinger's low completion percentage on Saturday, right? I think the eye test would tell you that Sam Ehlinger played pretty well, and obviously well enough for the Longhorns to get the victory over USC. But you look at the stats, sometimes numbers can be deceiving. Just 15 of 33, completed less than 50% of his passes. Tom Herman said, "We prepared all week for that. We knew we were going to take some shots down the field against USC's man-to-man coverage. Those are kind of lower percentage throws when you throw the ball more than 20 yards down the field." Didn't even bat an eye out that, so the confidence is still there with Sam Ehlinger moving into conference play.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit of BS, if I'm
being
perfectly honest about it. He missed. There were a couple throws that his receivers dropped. There was one where Colin Johnson had a potential first down, and the receiver, or the DB rather, made a nice hit on the play, but Colin Johnson still could have come up with that one. He'll even tell you as much. He did miss a couple times deep, but there were a couple of throws, like we talked about in the first hour, where Sam starts to move left. He's got a receiver on the sideline, and he just short arms them. Or it's not really even a short arm, but the throw ends up very short versus where the receiver is, too.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. But Texas does get the victory. This is like the media, you know? They rooting for Texas? Do they want Texas to lose? Like, whenever Texas loses a game or they play a close tilt, all the questions are about the previous game. Texas gets a huge victory over USC, and it's like, cool, let's talk about next week's game. What are you going to do next, coach?
Not just that, but you pointed it out, BK. There were guys who were getting the microphone multiple times around, too. You don't always see that.
Nobody
on
has
press
any
conference
questions
Mondays.
When Texas wins. Come on. What was it like from 2000 to 2009 when the press conference is 5 minutes long? Unbelievable. All right. Good stuff there. There it is, the game week press conference. By the way, congrats to Gary Johnson, who was named Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week. We're taking a break. We'll do a little crosstalk with Rod Babers and wrap up the midday show on the other side. It's Trey and BK. You're on the horn.
All righty, that is it for today's midday show. Rod Babers in right now for a quick crosstalk. BK, and it is sponsored.
Paul's Motorworks, 620 and 2020. Nope, 2222. That's the road. That's a lot of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Go get your oil changed. Get your car checked up. It's where I go. It's where Bucky goes. Paul's Motorworks. Check him out, pmwaustin.com. Rod, what's up, man?
Nothing. Celebrating the Longhorn victory, baby. A dub.
How about
I'll
that?
Take it.
Looked pretty good on Saturday,
man,
night,
looked,
huh?
That looked damn good, man. That looked pretty to me. But we can't even celebrate it because we got the Purple Kryptonite coming up. So
Two in a row.
Yeah, that would be big.
No kidding.
It's big, baby. Three would be better.
Rodcast coming up 1-3. Chad and Kevin, 3-7. Monday Night Football tonight. We're out of time for the good take Trey today. I got to give it to him. The communist still, Trey Elling, I am BK. We'll be back to get a pop at same time tomorrow. Until then, let bygones be bygones. You can go and get the hell on. You and your mama, we out of here.